Hello and welcome to episode number 84 of AV's Ripping Wax Packs podcast, coming to you from Searcy, Arkansas, y'all. I'm your host, Aaron Vaughn, and this is the show where we rip open a wax pack every week and discuss that year and brand a card along with the players in the pack that we open. Along the way, we'll shout out some of your comments as listeners, discuss nostalgic stories about cards or players that come to mind, and spread the pure joy that comes with ripping open wax packs. Also, we will have a weekly segment called Kurt Facts, where my brother Curtis researches some players from the previous episode, and I pass those interesting facts on to y'all. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Google Podcasts, and most podcast platforms. New episodes drop every Thursday. Our Twitter handle is @RippingWaxPacks. Our email is RippingWaxPacks@gmail.com, and our Facebook page is RippingWaxPacks. And remember, on YouTube, you can just type in AV's Ripping Wax Packs, and you'll see the portion of the podcast where we rip open the pack from the podcast. We're always looking to promote veterans charities, so please contact us, and we'd be happy to either discuss a partnership to help veterans or just help you learn how to give to veterans and their families in any way that you can. And we're always thankful for the veterans for their service to us, and we thank all those service men and women out there every day for keeping us safe. So thanks everybody for their support. We had a lot of people commenting in saying how much they enjoyed the Kurt Facts segments and the research he does there. So Kurt, I think it's because you were absent because you were on vacation and we didn't have Kurt Facts last week. So that really shows how much that they, the people out there want to hear the Kurt Facts segment. So it's good to have Kurt back with the Kurt Facts segment this week. And also some comments just about thanking us for sending the random wax packs to them. Everybody's really appreciative of that. So we appreciate those comments. Keep them coming in. Remember to check out CV's Tend to Check Out music podcast. Our little promo for that is sharing the joy of music and hoping to help listeners discover unfamiliar bands or songs they might want to look further into. A new episode will be out soon for this month. So keep that in mind as you're looking for new podcasts to search. If you like music, it's a good one that Curtis researches, and I put that out to y'all. Today we will be discussing 1995 Tops, and a little different about this. I'm gonna go ahead and describe this, and then we'll do our Kurt Facts segment. The 1995 Topps baseball set is a 660 card set divided into two series of 396 and 264 cards. So this is what I was saying. It's kind of weird because there was a strike that affected in, the past year of those cards. So it says, as an after effect of the 1994-95 Major League Baseball player strike, Topps announced that the production of 1995 would be its lowest in 30 years. Each pack contains one CyberStats card. So CyberStats is what I called this episode. And what it did, it was a partial parallel that shows the player's computer projected stats had the entire 1994 season been played. So there was a strike and not the whole season was played. So the CyberStats cards say, hey, this is what the card would have, or it has the stats on the card that were they think would have been what the player would have had for the entire season. So they were computer projected statistics. So we don't know if that would have happened, obviously, but they just used a computer to project those stats. Every 120th pack contained an Own the Game instant winner card. And I'm looking at the pack and it says on there, every card foil stamped, Spectra Light insert card in every pack, find Own the Game instant win cards. So you could win different prizes for that, I guess. It shows on the back the odds of those, but obviously you can't get those now. It's a long time ago. The distribution of 1995 Tops was the hobby retail wax, 36 packs per box, 11 cards per pack. They were $1.29 a pack at this time, getting more expensive as the years went on. Jumbos were 20 packs per box, 24 cards per pack. Grand Slam Series 1 and Series 2 factory sets that include 10 CyberStat parallels and two league leader inserts per series. retail factory sets that included 10 opening day and 7 Cyberstat season in review inserts. Hobby factory sets included 10 1995 Stadium Club first day issue and 7 Cyberstat season in review inserts. So you could get different types of inserts if you bought the different types of distributions of the cards they had. So we'll be looking for the Cyberstats cards. We have a Series 1 pack here, so there's the Stadium Club first day issue and the League Leaders. I just think those would be some good ones to look for. There are Hall of Famers in here, Ken Griffey Jr., this 1995. We got Jim Thome in there. Looks like there's Paul Konerko rookie. There's all different cards in there of some good players. But we'll have a fun time opening that 1995 Topps pack here in a minute. Just kind of looking through to see if there's anything else. Looks like that's about it. If anybody has anything to add to the 1995 Topps description, please email us or tweet us or something to let us know what you think. And then we'll get that out there on the air for others to hear. And we thank you for that if you do that. All right, let's get right to the Kurt Facts segment. Curtis says this is about episode 83, 1999 Upper Deck MVP, and then we also ripped to 84 Topps, and 85 Donruss was one that had already been opened, but I did show those again. And Kurt noted that there were several great players to choose from in this episode that he says that I had already done. He did a bit on Sammy Sosa, Brian Jordan, Griffey Jr., Jeff Bagwell, and so I went with a few lesser-known players. So our special throwback player is Roger Maris, and he was chosen for this week in honor of Aaron Judge's chase of his AL season home run record. So that just happened. So as I'm taping this, Aaron Judge just passed Roger Maris' all-time American League home run record. And without steroids and all that involved, it seems like I almost would say that the 62 homers with a clean chase of the record of Roger Maris, I think he's probably the all-time single-season home run record in my eyes. But it was really fun watching, you know, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, and Barry Bonds to take nothing away from them. But if they did use steroids, I think Aaron Judge, he seems like he's a pretty clean guy. I guess we'll find that out. He just hit a 62nd home run, so he has the most ever in the American League in a single season, which is pretty amazing. So we chose this one because of that. Because Maris is the man that broke the Major League Baseball single-season homer record of Babe Ruth in 1961, many may think that he's a Hall of Famer, but he is not. His 61 homers in 1961 stood for over 30 years until being broken in 1998 by Mark McGwire. It was still a record for the AL until Aaron Judge tied it, and now he went ahead. So he does have the 62 now this year. Playing 12 seasons in the majors as a right fielder, he compiled career stats of 260 average, 1,325 hits, not in the top 300, 270 homers, which is 193rd, 800 RBIs, it's not in the top 300, while appearing in 7 World Series with the Yankees and Cardinals. He was a 7-time All-Star who won 3 World Series championships and 2 AL MVPs, and many still feel he should be in the Hall of the Hall. But during his single-season homer chase, he received a lot of hate from those who loved Babe Ruth so much. And for the fact that he took 162 games to break Ruth's record while Ruth only had 154 games. Even in our other Kurt Facts segments, we have seen many other players that have similar or better stats that are sitting that are not in the Hall of Fame. So I guess it's warranted that he's not in the Hall of Fame with those numbers. All right. Jesse Barfield was pulled, and he's a former right fielder. I remember watching him play. Man, that guy could hit some bombs. Who played 11 seasons with the Blue Jays and Yankees. He also played 1 year in the Japanese Pro League, and I chose him to contrast his career numbers with Roger Maris. Barfield played 1 season less than Maris and finished his career with a .256 average, 241 homers, and 716 RBIs. Solid numbers for sure, but not Hall of Fame worthy. He made 1 All-Star appearance and never won an MVP. And of course, never came close to hitting 61 homers in a single season. Barfield's best season was in 1986 when he hit .289 with 40 homers. I think that's when I remember him the most. because I was a young lad at the time, leading the AL with the 40 homers, 108 RBIs and 107 runs, 170 hits and 35 doubles. What a year that was for him. Jesse Orozco was pulled, and he's a former relief pitcher who played 25 seasons with 10 different teams. I chose him to show how a left-handed relief specialist in the old days could have a long career because of the way left-handed specialists would be brought in to face only one left-handed batter in certain situations, and that would still count as an appearance in a game. This is Orozco in a nutshell. I remember watching him come in and throw his huge sweeping slider facing lefty hitters only. In today's game, that can't happen, as rules state a relief pitcher must face at least three hitters or finish an inning. Orozco holds the record for most pitching appearances in a career with 1,252 games. Dang. He was 47 years old when he retired, and his career was prolonged because of the extensive use of the left-handed specialist role in the 90s particular. 47 years old and retired. Man, almost 50 years old. He's my age. He's still pitching. I can't imagine that. He compiled career stats of 1,252 appearances, 87-80 win-loss record, 3.16 ERA, 1,179 strikeouts, and 144 saves, which is 94th all-time. He also won two world championships with the Mets and the Dodgers. Orozco is a great example of being an average player that lasted a long time because they could specialize in one thing. So those were our Curt facts. And we'll be right back to open the 1995 Topps Pack. All right, here is our 1995 Topps Pack. Looks like they made it pretty colorful in the front. There was the, like I said, the strike the past year. So I think they wanted to get people back into it. So they did the cyber stats thing. And they gave you instant win game cards as an insert in some of these packs. Every card was foil stamped. It said there are 15 baseball cards here, but they didn't go down in price. They're $129 per pack. So if you're on YouTube, you can check this out. And it has a baseball on the front. It says 1995 Major League Baseball Tops at the top there. We're going to go ahead and open that pack and see what we get here. And our winner for this week will get this pack, unless it's something that I want in there. And you'll get a couple wax packs as well. And that's Craig Cox for episode 84. Thanks, Craig, for the support. Appreciate you. All right. Let's open her up. All right. Again, these are, some of them feel like they're kind of stuck together, so I give them a little, not bend, because I don't want to mess up the cards as much as possible, but then I kind of drop them on the table and it'll open them up a little bit, make them looser, and it won't mess up the corners too. That sounds weird. Maybe the back card might get a little bit of messed up. It's Chili Davis on the back. All right. Yep, that worked. So kind of opened them up there. So here's what they look like. If you're on YouTube, you have a white border. This is Tim Mauser with the, and it has the, like they said, gold stamped tops. And then their name is in gold stamped. It has their position on the bottom and their team. And they're pretty darn bland to me, just a white border, but they're glossy, they're made pretty well. On the back it has a little bit about the person, there's another picture of their face, and then an in-action photo as well on this one. Some of them don't have an in-action, but they have two other pictures on the back. Looks like it has all their pro stats on it, their professional or major league stats I should say, and all the pertinent information about them. So that was Tim Mauser. Next one is John Smiley. Oops, sideways there. This looks like a little different. The back of it looks different, so I'm not sure. So here is the first one. I'll show you together. And then this was the next card. It's a little bit different. It looks way bigger on the back. Maybe that's some type of insert. Oh, that's a cyber stats. So I talked about the cyber stats. That's cool. I got one right there. It says cyber stats. So it actually has what they thought they would have achieved had there been a full season. So if you look at it, if you're looking at it with me on YouTube, the last, where it says 94, those stats are a little bit bigger, and then it shows what they think they would have had. So they probably have another card that has their actual stats like Tim Mauser's did, I'm sure. All right, here's a Todd Hollinsworth rookie, future star. It's pretty cool. So we got a cyber stats and a future star. It says future star on the side of it. Pretty cool. Next we have Kevin Gross. He's not really, but just his last name. Ray McDavid. Let's see here. Ray McDavid. Never heard of Ray McDavid. Oh, this is awesome. Wow. Never seen this before. I might have to keep this one, Craig Cox, that's getting these. 100th birthday, Babe Ruth. That's pretty cool. It's in like gold. And then it tells all about George Herman Babe Ruth on the back. So pretty cool insert card there. Next we have Gar Finvold. Man, who? All right, he made the show, man. It's pretty awesome. Scott Service. Raphael Belliard. And I have a couple that are kind of still stuck together. Raphael Belliard. Juan Guzman. He had a couple good years. Dave Hansen. A couple of them. Man, my unsticking didn't work well for a couple of them. Dave Hansen. And if you can see, because they were stuck together, there's a little part, little spot there where it kind of ripped off the back of the other card. Hate that. Dave Hansen. Mike McFarlane. Just because they were glossy, the way they were made there. It's been so long. They kind of get bricked up, they call it, in the packs. Kurt Manwaring. Jay Buhner. He had some good years. He's a good hitter, outfielder. And Chili Davis. All right, there's our pack. I appreciate you tuning into YouTube, and we'll go finish up the episode back on the podcast. All right, we appreciate everybody tuning in. Remember, you can contact us in the following ways. Our Twitter handle is @RippingWaxPacks. Our email is RippingWaxPacks@gmail.com. Our Facebook page is RippingWaxPacks. And on YouTube, just type in AV's Ripping Wax Packs. And if you put in the episode number, it would get you right there quicker. You can see the part of the podcast where we rip open the pack from the podcast. Remember to check out our other podcasts. CVs tend to check out a music podcast, which is out now. We're always looking to promote veterans charities, so contact us to learn more about donating to veterans and their families. And we always thank Kurt for the Kurt Facts segment, and we're glad he's back safe from vacation. And we look forward to more Kurt Facts ahead. This has been AV's Ripping Wax Packs podcast. This is Aaron Vaughn thanking you for tuning in. Have fun, be safe, love one another, and keep God first in your life. Have a good one.